Welcome back to Endpoint TV. I'm your host, Ron Jacobs, and today I'm joined by Dimitri from our Patterns of Praxis team. Welcome.
Thank you.
And so Patterns of Praxis, always very close to my heart. I was a member of that team years ago and worked on many projects over there.
And with me, too.
Yeah, well, it was great fun. The thing I love about that name, Patterns and Practices, is it actually gets to the questions people have to answer, right? Like, when we're in a product team, like I am now, we create a bunch of stuff that you could use 500 different ways, and we just go, here, customers, use it. And they say, yeah, but what's the right way to use it? And is this way better than that way? And what if I want to do this? And how do I work it? And very often, I wish we had time to do more, but we're busy building the next thing, so you know, sometimes we don't do a great job of explaining it. So that's kind of where you come in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what we do is we show how to use platform correctly, how to use products correctly from our viewpoint, and we're very customer-centric because we always ask customers what we should work on and what are the typical challenges they have, and then, you know, we kick off the project and we see how we can help.
Now, you've been working on this thing. What's the name of this project, this thing here?
It's the code name is Reykjavik, because we have sentimental meaning to it.
Yeah?
Yeah, and the reason is because this code name was out for about 2 years when we wanted to work on the patterns, and we never used it.
Yeah.
And on the CodePlex, the project is named Composite Services. So, and it's mostly about applying SOAP patterns, which help to build service-oriented applications, which where composition is obviously implied.
Yeah. Right, right. So, what do we see on the screen here? This is a list of the patterns that you've got in this thing?
Yep. So, this is current, not final, structure of the book we are writing. And the book is all around patterns and how to apply those patterns. And most of these patterns came from SOAP Design Patterns book. So they're well-known patterns. We did not, you know, take a pattern and said it's ours. It's not academically sound.
Okay.
And what we want to do is show how these patterns are applied in the context of our platform or product. So, and to give you an example, let's look. We have data model transformation. So what this pattern means is transform from one data model to another.
Okay.
A typical idea that comes to mind, okay, you have XML message, you have schema one, you have schema two, you need to transform.
Right, right.
So what we do is we look how this pattern can be applied, and we have multiple choices.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we document all of them with pros and cons.
Okay.
For applying this pattern. So you can apply it in Bistalk, you can apply it with a Fabric Connect and workflow, you can create custom XSLT, you can do dynamic transformation with CSB Toolkit. So we go through all of those variations and define pros and cons so customer can choose. So the simplest example would be a cookbook, if you wish.
Right.
So if you want to, you know, one section is for wines, one for sauces, one's for desserts, and so on.
Uh-huh.
So, and this is how we want to write the book and show code and samples how to do it. So it's easy to find, easy to see what the options are, how it's aligned with our platform, and help people to better understand the pattern and use it.
So when I went to the CodePlex site and downloaded this, I was honestly expecting a PDF or maybe a Word doc or something. You know, like I thought, I'm going to get the book. What I got was actually a lot of code and very little book. So actually, you wrote the code first.
Right.
And you know, honestly, when people think about a book, most books that you get, and they have some sample code attached, the sample code is, you know, trivial. It's very, you know, it's meant to be easy to understand and implement something very simple. That's not what you guys did. You built something very substantial.
Yes. We actually started with the patterns and, of course, customer scenarios.
Yeah.
But then we didn't feel we could just ship the book because we wanted to learn ourselves how to apply it in the right way.
Okay.
So what we did is we structured patterns that we already know how to implement, can be implemented with the products.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of the patterns we decided to implement ourselves and give people starting point to, you know, understand the pattern, see how it can be done. And from samples, it kind of grew up to same manner as Antlib is structured, because mm-hmm. we wanted to give more than just sample.
And just so for people who don't know, Antlib is our shorthand for Enterprise Library, which
right.
is one of a well-known patterns and practices
right.
Deliverable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, in fact, so what you've got here is something that's code that you feel really good about,
mm-hmm.
And it's quite a bit of it there that people could take, learn from, use it if they want to, and just take it and go from there.
Right.
Now, you're going to show us some things about from that code today?
Yeah, absolutely. So what I've wanted to do is to show you one of the scenarios where kind of everything, what we have done regarding policy centralization, schema centralization.
Okay, so that's over
yes.
here in the inventory patterns
yes.
area.
Yes, and inventory endpoint are combined together. And
so tell me, before we dive into that real quick,
mm-hmm.
who cares about this stuff? Why do customers say, like, I really care about this inventory thing? What kind of scenarios are they caring about?
Well, if customers want to build truly composite applications,
yeah.
they need something to compose from.
Uh-huh.
So the definition of inventory is a definition of service metadata, policies, XSDs, if it's SOAP service, metadata descriptions, if it's OData, something else,
yeah.
stored centrally and cataloged.
Uh-huh.
So if you have a set of services, then you can actually look and see, am I going to implement service which is already existing?
Uh-huh.
What are the implications if I'm going to create new version of the service?
Yeah.
How this service is going to be measured? Because composite service implies, you know, if I'm composite and I'm dependent on you as now and I'm doing my wonderful service,
yeah.
then, of course, I mean, we have to measure my performance together with your performance because
now we're in this together.
Yes. So this is precisely how we think about composite services, because services needs to be defined in inventory to avoid, mm-hmm. to avoid pitfalls that people typically do. And this is why one of the applications of inventory is SOA governance,
mm-hmm.
because that makes people to make better decisions.
You know, what's funny about that word governance is
yeah.
as soon as you say it, people, developers especially go, "Ooh, we hate that word." But if we're building one web application that has five web services,
mm-hmm.
we probably don't need a lot of governance. I mean, you know, that's probably manageable. But when we build 500 services across multiple business units running mission-critical applications
yep.
and teams around the world, we better care about governance or we're going to have a mess.
Yep, precisely.
Okay, so show me what you got here. Let's take a look at this.
Okay, so what I'm going to show you first is a tool that we have developed, and the sample that I'm going to show you is actually service virtualization and routing sample. And what we're going to do is use .NET routing service
uh-huh.
without any changes.
Okay.
And as you know, .NET routing service does not return contract of the service that is, behind the DMC.
Right.
So
right.
you have to know WSDL in advance and point to the real service to create the proxy. You had a video about that.
Yeah, yeah. So this is important just so people get this. If I have a routing service and I say, I want to use the service that's behind the router.
Right.
And so I go into Visual Studio and say, like, add service reference and point the router. I'm not going to get any WSDL. That's just not going to work.
Right. So Because we felt service virtualization and analytic tracing are very good patterns. What I'm going to show you is the tool we have developed. And using this tool, you can actually represent service inventory centrally. So in a sense, it is a version of service repository. And what I did is I imported a service that is going to be represented by routing service. So this is going to be metadata that is returned. And as you see, what happens here is as we load the service that got already imported, not only you see the service, but you also see the WSDL, you see schemas, and you see every piece of metadata defined completely and separately, but as an asset. And to top it off, we do have actually a relationship between these assets. So, and this is what a really cool repository does. So when you actually see a schema or policy or WSDL, you can actually see who is referring to it and what are the reference from and to. So you can see all the implications of how this asset is dependent on another asset. But to move on, what we also do on the router, we do define, as you see, policy assertions. And because we're going to consume the real service, I do have exactly the same clone, but look at this.
Yeah.
So what we basically said is we want to record here everything which is related to get data response, and the star means matching to the SOAP action, and this is WS policy attachment specification that basically says how we use this policy. Now, if we go down and see what we're actually going to do, you see that what we have done is we developed our own policy language, if you wish, and here we define the policy that says, okay, we're going to have event 301 because it is response. And within the probe, we have properties. And you see there is a function, extract activity ID.
Right.
So, and you can define as many probes as you wish. And the functions are totally pluggable. So you can define any event properties you want. And then we will intercept them for you.
Yeah.
And we will trace them and we'll log them. And this is what I'm going to show you today.
Okay, so you actually took this WS policy spec and you were able to build your own extensions that made all of this possible?
Yes. So so in essence, what we have built for service inventory, we call it service inventory block, is a set of services to import service metadata, set of algorithms to make sure that they're normalized, so you don't create duplicates. Then we also compute the metadata at the runtime. So if you want to preview this service, we can certainly do this for you. And you can build proxy just using our metadata services without even real service. So the possibility here is, okay, I'm an architect. I created contract first service. And we also allow importing contract first. And then we say, hey, I want to give it to my developer, but I want to define what bindings to use, how service should be measured in terms of the policies. And then just give it to developer and say, go build you know, server stub or client proxy and code it. And this is what you see here. So you see all this policy got emitted. And then if there are policies, it can be any WS policy that will influence your binding configuration, you can just create a policy importer in WCF and use it. But you don't need to create custom exporters because we do all this injection for you. And we also allow you to normalize injection algorithms. So you can define your own attached to binding, attached to message, regardless of what is within the policy. And which we feel is good at.
And so you actually used the WCF extensibility mechanisms to do all of this. I mean, you know, there's nothing like no internal magic here. You just used all the public API surface to do these sorts of things, right?
Well, on the injection, as you see here, even though we define the custom policies in text and attach, The way they are emitted is exactly the same as typical bonding emits them.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no whistle, you know, hacking or anything like that.
Yeah.
Everything what gets emitted from the policy perspective is going to the same API as, you know, bondings are used. So,
it's really very flexible. Yeah, and this gives you another example of all. WCF has a lot of extensibility points, and sometimes it's very hard to work out what's the right one to do the right sort of thing, and need a good example of how to use them. So this code would be a good example of that.
Yep. So moving on. So here is how this would have looked like if we would consume this service, and there would be a WCF router that would return this data. So what I'm going to do first is just show how it works.
Okay.
And the first thing what we need to do is actually look at our WCF, what we call monitoring routing service. So, and as you see, it has been loaded.
And I see it's globalbank.com.
Yes.
A name near and dear to my heart.
Yes. We always use globalbank.com, and then, I'm using Hyper-V, so Active Directory is Global Bank.
I created Global Bank.
I know.
You knew that, yeah?
I know. So here is our service, which is WCF routing service, and you see the same policy here.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do now is just copy this, and you see I already actually created the proxy for it.
Yeah.
I can create it again. And what's happening underneath is we configured this service. It's a routing service, WCF routing service, without any changes, except that we added two things. We added a behavior that allows you to enforce the monitoring policy, so we can log what's coming in for request, response, and fault for the policy I showed it to you.
Yeah.
And we also added, which you can see in configuration, a metadata extension that returns the metadata I just imported.
Yeah.
And merges endpoint configuration from the real router, because endpoints that I imported from, Contosa are not endpoints that router will be hosted, obviously. So what we're going to do is, I can build the same proxy or just hit it with some data. And you see it worked. And now what we want to do is actually know what we have recorded. Because remember, if we go back, we said that we wanted to extract activity ID when we call get data, and here is the input policy,
right?
And output. So now we can go back to our wonderful tool, and you see here we do have ability to see how data got recorded, because we actually collect the data and we developed components to do that. So in a similar way that is done in AppFabric. So now if we go from now until, late in the night, and we hit the service, here the first one is our Fabricom service that we called from the router.
Yeah.
And we want to see what got recorded. And as you see, we got our wonderful messages. So if I will make it a little bit smaller. You see below, our activity ID got recorded.
Ah, okay.
So, and 300, if I go back to the service, was request, and 301 was response. And in addition, we allow you to collect custom properties that you can also specify using the policy. So you don't need to get the whole message if it gets big. And
these got recorded into a monitoring database?
To our monitoring database.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Wow, terrific.
Using ETW the same way AppFabric works.
Ah, yeah, okay. Well, so now you guys are not quite finished with this, right? You don't have the book yet.
right?
But you're working on the book right now. How much longer do you think that's going to be?
Well, the deadline is June.
Okay.
So there is no way to escape. And we're working very hard because we have a lot of material.
Yeah.
And we feel good about the blocks we have done so far.
Right.
So in essence, we are optimizing the book to go around the patterns, not around the APIs.
Right.
The book will be structured around patterns. And of course, we'll put appendices how to use the blocks.
Yeah.
And we feel that first thing what needs to be done is read the book.
Yeah.
And we also feel that since we mainly got patterns from Thomas Searle, so Design Patterns book, if somebody is not familiar with what so a design pattern is, it's probably better to buy his book, which explains the pattern in vendor-neutral way.
Right, right.
Then for Microsoft.net, buy our book, because we show how to use it in our platform.
Ah, okay.
And then use these two books together would be probably the best. And if there is a code that customers will find useful and reuse, well, it will be good for us.
Yeah, so, okay, they can get this code today. I went and downloaded it this morning, right, from CodePlex. And so the book's not there yet, but they can, you know, explore the code and see how it works.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's terrific. I think this is really useful for a lot of people who are struggling with, you know, how do we implement these things? And sometimes there's not a lot of information. So thanks for sharing it with us, Dimitri.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no problem. And we'll see you next time on Endpoint TV.